This is AM 580, and it's time now for us to find out what's happening on the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange. With our opening report, here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Thursday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time in Kansas City. May wheat opened at 5:02, down a half on the open. At the Chicago Board of Trade, May wheat opened at 4.79 and a half, up 1 and a half on the open. July 4.90, up a half. September 5:01, up 2. December 5:10, up 1 on the open. March corn opened at 4:15 and a half, down a half on the open. May 4:25, up a half. May 4:34, up 1. September 4:20, unchanged. December 4:09, down a half. March 2008, 4:18, down 1. July 2008, 4:23, down a half on the open. March beans opened at 7:47, up 4 on the open. May 7:58, up a half. July 7:73, unchanged. August 7:82, up 5. September 7:89 and a half, up 5 and a half. November 7:95 and a half, unchanged. January 8:01, down a half. March 8:07, up 2 on the open. March soybean meal opened at 2:18.50, up a dollar on the open. May 2:22.50, down 10. March soybean oil opened at 29.89, up 4 on the open. May 30.20, down 1. At the Merc, March feeders opened at 104.25, up 87.5 on the open. April 107, up 2.10. May 108.30, up 117.5. August 109.35, up 105 on the open. April live cattle opened at 99.90, up 135 on the open. June 97.90, up 107.5. August 94.35, up 80. October 98, up 77.5 on the open. April lean hogs opened at 66.45, up 77.5 on the open. May 75.50, up 25. June 76.75, up 62.5. July 77.10, up 42.5 on the open. And March bellies opened at 103.15, up 45 on the open.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Dave.
Start on the Merc side today, will you please? And it's been one heck of a ride on the upside. We had a strong uptick yesterday, strong follow-through today. What does that imply on the charts that you're watching?
Well, it tells you that the high prices of corn are reducing the any kind of expansion plans, is keeping livestock weights under control or on the light side. So, and it also says we're moving into a period of increased demand as weather begins to improve for the cookout season. So I think there's just a combination of things that goes along here with the cattle, the livestock market. So that's kind of where we're at now. I do think, though, we're probably still some vulnerable to some downside here, but at least for the short term here, we're in a pretty good climb in here.
To what degree can we say that then livestock producers can make profit at $4 corn based on what we've been seeing the last few months?
Well, I'm not too sure I'm the right person to be answering that question. I've been away from the livestock side for a long time, but you can pretty well go back in history and kind of relate that cheap corn prices usually results in cheap livestock prices, and high corn prices relate into higher cattle prices. So, I mean, the higher feed grain input costs and that, what that does is it probably makes any kind of expansion plans more moderate. It brings supply more in line with demand. Everybody becomes more efficient, very careful. So, but there's time lags and all that too. I mean, that's the biggest problem is the time lag. By the time usually input costs on the livestock side goes up first, and then over time, then that will slow down expansion plans, make everybody more efficient, lighter weights, and then that means that livestock prices then will strengthen as a result of the higher prices. So, but that's also the case for the grain farmer too. His input costs go up first, and then that slows down production plans or production expectations or movement of acres from one crop to the other, until the market comes back more in line.
All right, then let's turn your attention over to the grains, and specifically, let's talk about the corn, where we've had a nice little run up this week. We're on track for a higher weekly high, which makes me wonder if we're on one of those shorter cyclical cycles, an 8 or 9 weeker.
Well, it's going to be a ways before we make a weekly high, Dave, but we are on track for maybe a higher weekly finish after we penetrated last week's low point in Sunday's overnight trade and Monday morning's early trade. But the ability of the market to come back and close higher there on Monday and pretty well put the brakes on any downside follow-through activity from that weekly reversal down that we saw in corn and wheat. Beans didn't necessarily have a weekly reversal down, but it did close lower for the week last week. It does indicate that maybe that was a little premature, a little false signal. It's not totally been negated yet, but the fact that it hasn't been able to show any downside follow-through activity does suggest that maybe that technical side got a little further ahead of the market than what it should have. I think a lot of that, though, could be related to the big decline that we saw in the equity markets last week and just kind of overextended itself. So, but the equity markets are trying to recover. They haven't, as far as I'm concerned, they haven't totally negated that big hard down last week. But it does indicate that any long liquidation activity due to margin call requirements from the long side was pretty well put to rest here, at least for the time being. And that was the first thing the market needed to do here early this week, or a lot of that weakness that we saw last week was going to continue into a much deeper type break.
Then I guess the question is, what do you need to see technically to confirm in your mind that we might be starting a new 10-week cycle?
Well, a higher weekly close will go a long ways. beans are probably time-wise are more in sync with an 8 to 9 week cycle low coming out of that January low. So a higher weekly finish here in beans would kind of, I think, solidify an 8 to 9 week cycle low or an upturn in that cyclical force. And in real bullish situations, you can kind of more often than not, the cyclical forces maybe shorten up a week or two, and that might be the case what's happening in corn, whereas corn runs an average of a 10-week cycle from low to low. This week's action indicates that maybe an 8-week cycle low might be in the cards here, which would indicate a little more bullish situation in the corn market. And that same way with wheat. If all three markets do come in here and close higher for the week, I think it does indicate that the market then now is in position to strengthen into an April high, and we'll kind of go from there.
How often do March reports produce surprises?
Well, the individual USDA report that's coming up here Friday, I think, rarely there's a big surprise in that, but there's always room for something. But for the most part, bigger surprises come in the quarterly reports when USDA has another look at available stocks on hand. That's usually when they have to go back and make some adjustments if their production number's too high or too low or whatnot. So you usually get bigger surprises on your quarterly reports, and that's going to be here at the end of the month. But a March report, a supply-demand number, very rarely you're going to get a big surprise. I mean, the market could be surprised a little bit, but it's usually not shockers. Now, your crop reports become shockers when you get into the yield production side of it, but right now we already know what supply is, so the only changes we have now is demand changes. But once you get into August and September and October on your monthly reports, when the USDA is still surveying production prospects and trying to come to grips with what size of crop we get out there, then you got surprises in those reports. But once you get past that January final on the supply side, it's kind of hard to make these supply demand tables that are revised every month a major surprise.
Thank you very much, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. With every kernel, every grain, every seed, ADM sees possibilities to improve everyday life. ADM, resourceful by nature.
You're listening to WILL Urbana.